God help us. I'm telling you, we need help. And this is covered by singing, dancing, waving banners, shouting, praising, preaching, building churches, giving offerings. Are those things wrong in themselves? No, they're not wrong in themselves. But when they become a substitute for obedience, that's when they become wrong. So we're out here in all of this religious activity, and the Lord is standing and he's saying, come. Come where? Come out of that stuff. Come over here and let's reason together. Let's get down to the issues in your heart. See, the first thing that God is going to do when I come to him is deal with my unlikeness to him. That's the greatest thing he can do. And if I do not let him do it, how am I going to walk with him? It's impossible. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And if he comes with a commandment to me and speaks into my life, and my natural affections are stronger than my faith or my trust in him, I will push him away, and in my heart I will depart from the living God. The commandment of God has to humble us. It cannot be any other way. I am meek and lowly in heart. Well, then on what level do his words come out? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So they come out way down here on this humble, lowly level. And our problem is we can't get down low enough. Peter, do you love me more than these? Oh, help me get down there, Lord, because that is humiliating. My flesh would much rather get up in a $4,000 suit and tell people how to live and be the man. That's a dangerous place for that man. Of course, the Lord has ways of bringing us down. And he does it out from the riches of his glory. Now look at this, these next verses. Verse 10. Can you imagine going to a church in America, some denominational church, and saying, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. This is the Lord saying to Isaiah, go down to the temple and tell them there are Sodomites and Gomorrahites, if there is such a thing. It's a good way to get killed. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? He's saying, why are you bringing all these offerings to me? Well, they could go back to the law and say, well, because you told us in the law. Now hold your place here and let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Remember that the law, that Moses gave the law not on the basis of the law, but on the basis of a relationship to God of grace. If I have found grace in thy sight. Okay, 1 Samuel 15, I think it's verse 22. Now, the Lord had given a commandment to Saul. And Saul was in a very difficult place. His life was being threatened because of the very commandment of God. He was in the place God told him to be, and he was under the threat of death. So he took it upon himself to do something. He offered something to God. And the prophet Samuel comes and says to him in verse 22, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Why? is it benefiting God if we obey Him? Are we increasing God if we obey Him? No. The commandment that He gives to us is ordained to life. I cannot conform myself to the image of Jesus Christ. I don't even know the full image of Christ. See, I have to be led by the Spirit into all truth, and He will take, as I follow the leading of the Spirit, He will take the things of Jesus, and He will show them unto me. Now, there are things 6 months out, eight years out, of my following the Spirit that my eye does not see now. And it will never see it unless I obey the Lord. And in my obedience to the Lord, He is going to deal with my carnal nature. He is going to put it to death. He that loses his life for my sake will find it. How do you lose your life for the Lord's sake? By obeying what He is telling you to do. I hope that you are getting what I'm saying tonight. There is no religious substitute for obedience. Religion says we are going to make ourselves righteous before God. Obedience says I am going to let God conform me to the image of Christ. And my flesh will never be in agreement with what God's doing and wants to do. Now, afterwards, I will look back and I will say, I am sure glad my flesh didn't have its way. But the whole time, my flesh is kicking and screaming, get me out of here. See, and you have to through the Spirit. That's why He's called the Comforter. Because He comforts you on another level that you can't be comforted on in the world. See, the world cannot give you this kind of comfort. It can't get that deep inside of you. So that as you're doing the command of God, the cry of your heart is, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Because God has put that inside of you. It's birthed in you by God. You'll never get that by offering things to God on your own. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Not what is born of the flesh. So He says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Oh, God, we need help. Are our churches filled with witchcraft? In the form of rebellion. And stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Why did God tell Saul to do this thing? Because He was dealing with some weakness in Saul's heart or some unlikeness to God in Saul's heart. And that is where we have our problem. You and me and everybody else that calls themselves a Christian. That's where in our heart we depart from the living God. We keep going to church. It's like this friend of mine who was in a church of 500 people, not too far from here. And everybody was worshiping the Lord. They had their hands raised. They were singing. And there was a woman in the front of the church, and the Lord said to her, turn around and look at the church. Look at the people. And when she turned around in the Spirit, she saw that there were five people who had heads. And the Lord said, the people that you see with heads, I am their head. Everyone else I am not. 5 out of 500. No wonder, Paul says, be sober. No wonder the writer in Hebrews says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, it can happen at any time, an evil heart of unbelief, that you would depart from walking with the living God. Why? Because as your heart as you go on with the Lord, as I go on with the Lord, he's coming and he's dealing with his selfishness here. And at some point, I might say, I'm not giving. No, I'd never say that with my mouth. I'm not giving that to you. Now, this is where give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto you. But that's where this comes in. It's not in giving money, as so many, but it's you giving yourself to the Lord. See, and that he is able to give himself to you in a new and richer way. And now you have the true riches, and you can go out and touch people in their hearts where other people can't touch them. And when you touch them in their heart and meet their need in their heart, their response is like Mary, where she breaks the alabaster box on Jesus. Or like Abraham, whenever Melchizedek gave him that tremendous revelation, and Abraham responds and gave him tithes of all. Why? Because it touched his heart. Melchizedek touched his heart. Nobody could touch his heart like Melchizedek.